Hello and welcome to Matrix Live. My guest today is Benjamin, but you might know him by his weird nickname, only made of consonants, BNJBVR. Now you know that it stands for Benjay. Benjamin is employed by Element and he's one of the maintainers of the Matrix Rust SDK. Benjay, hi. Nice Hello. To have you on Matrix Live. I think it's the first time you're on Matrix Live.
Hi, yes, I'm super thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're excited to have you as well because you have plenty of things to say about the Rust SDK. So roughly, for the less technical people in the audience, an SDK is a piece of software where complex logic happens that several apps can then reuse without having to write all that complex logic themselves. Is it approximately correct?
This is entirely correct. So basically, this like handles all the logic of like getting all the rooms of your Matrix account and then putting them in a room list and then like creating a timeline for that room, et cetera, et cetera. So you don't have to know about all the gory details about encryption or, for instance, like handling all the aggregations, like gathering reactions with the message they relate to and stuff like that, yes.
All right. So I've said that it's a piece of software that can be reused by several other apps to do all the heavy lifting. Do you have off the top of your head a list of clients that use the Rust SDK?
Yes, there are actually many. So, of course, there are the Elementix, the new generation of Element mobile apps that are using the Rust SDK. But there's also Fractal, which is a Linux software Matrix client. And there's also Rubrix, which was also an experimental Matrix client, and that is multi-platform, I think. There's also IMB, which is a terminal UI client, which is super nice, with Vim bindings for the Node.js. And there's also Aurora in Multiverse, which we're going to talk about a bit more afterwards.
All right. And so one client you didn't mention here is the old Element clients, so what is dubbed Element Classic in the App Store. Does it use the Rust SDK?
Yes, they actually use a subset of the Rust SDK, the one that is handling all the cryptography primitives of Matrix, so that we only have one piece of software that is doing the entire cryptography on all the Element apps. And when I say Element apps, I should also add Element Web is using that as well.
Right, but why do these apps only use the crypto aspects of the SDK and not the whole SDK if it's doing all the heavy lifting for them?
Right, that's a good question. And I think there are multiple parts to the answer. One of them is that reusing an SDK for an app means basically you now have to use all the endpoints provided by this SDK. And maybe your previous application was not using similar endpoints. So now you have to rewrite many places in your app. So it's not something you can do by snapping your fingers like that. But the crypto world, on the other hand, it's quite isolated. It's a problem that is self-contained, kind of, and so it's also very critical. It's a critical piece of software. Like, there's a running gag in the community that all the Matrix events are unable to decrypt, or the infamous UTD acronym. And originally, that was a thing indeed. And the one thing that could happen is that we had multiple SDKs, multiple implementation of the entire cryptography stack. So that means that you could have the crypto work perfectly fine on one platform and fail dramatically badly on another platform. Now, at least by using the same piece of software, we do know that we're using the same software. And so we can like compare the receiver end with the sender end of the cryptographic events and keys and all of that. It was also a proof of concept that we could ship this in existing apps, so on Android and on iOS, as well as on the web. And in terms of good practices, it also means that we only have to audit a single code base instead of multiple ones. So that's only good things.
All right. Talking about using the SDK in existing clients and actually in non-existing clients, there was a hackathon in Paris recently organized by Denim, where one of the results was What if we created a client from scratch, that a web client from scratch that uses the Rust SDK, and that was Aurora that we mentioned at the beginning of the episode. It was a 2 or 3 days hackathon. It's very short to create a client. Do you think the Rust SDK is one of the reasons why it was so easy to create such a client in such a short time frame?
I think it was a big part of the reason why it was so fast to make it in only 2 days. The other reason being that when you start from scratch, usually, you know, the Pareto rule, like doing the 80% of the work will take 20% of the time. But then doing the remaining 20% of the work will take 80% of the time. So if you discount Polish, you can have something that is a fully fledged Matrix client, but it may lack like some very small details and tweaks that you would like to implement later. But the Rust SDK was one of the reasons why it was so simple to implement. On the one hand, Aurora was also based on some other in-repository tool that we made for the Rust SDK team. It's basically a Matrix client, but that's very lightweight and not intended to be Matrix client full of features and not competing with other existing clients, just something we use for debugging purposes. But it gave like a code base that could be copied and pasted to create another like full-fledged client. And also we are providing high-level components. For instance, you have this roomless component that is based on a sync service. So the sync service will use the flashy sliding sync, mm-hmm. so the very fast synchronization protocol mm-hmm. that has been experimental as an MSC for years now, but we've been using it in production on Elementix for years. It's quite stable. It's super fast. You get the room list instantly when you open the app, so it's super nice. And then once you have focused on a given room, you have also this timeline UI component that we made that will give you the list of events, of messages with like all the reactions, all the read receipts attached to each timeline item, etc., etc. So it gives you very high level components, and then really the intent is that as an embedder of the Rust SDK, all you have to do is to write the rendering logic on top of that, and that's it. So in theory, it should be relatively straightforward, famous last words, etc., etc.
So if the Rust SDK was so simple to use because it had a foundational project that Aurora could base its work on, why is Element Web not just using the Rust SDK fully and is still clinging to the Matrix.js SDK today?
Right. So as I was saying earlier, I think there's a reason that when you're writing an application from scratch, it's much easier to start with some SDK of your choice. But when you're rewriting an existing application that is years and years old, that has had years of engineering put into it, like the Element Web, it's much harder to do so. Also, like the execution model on the web is quite different. In JavaScript, you have this concept of an event loop, and the mental model of the SDK is mostly having reactive things. So you get a list of rooms, and sometimes rooms will be added in that list and removed. So if the original application was not written in that same way, it would be much harder to integrate it with another SDK. You also have in Element Web, according to their own developers, a mix of logic handling and UI rendering all over the place. That means that whenever you need some ad hoc data, you will do, for instance, a call to a server endpoint in the component itself, while with the SDK would handle that for you. So would have like kind of different abstractions, different architecture that would make it work nicely. Also, we have to be fair, and I have to admit that the SDK doesn't have feature parity with all the features implemented in Element Web yet, notably spaces and threads. But the good news is that at this very time, we are working on both features for integrating them in the Rust SDK. So yeah, I guess all of these are why it's we cannot just use the REST SDK in Elements Web.
Yeah, it's difficult to hot swap the engine of a 10-year-old application that has been around, well, for 10 years.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, if it's difficult to hot swap the engine of an app that is that old, and if it was that simple to create an app in 2 days that uses perfectly the REST SDK, does that mean Aurora is going to replace Element Web eventually?
So it's not clear. It has not been decided yet. It is one of the possible paths, if I've understood correctly. But it's certainly not the only one that we have. An incremental rewrite could work as well. One thing that Aurora told us is that there is a specific architecture, the MVVMs for model view, view model architecture, that is very well suited for the REST SDK. So basically, with such an architecture, you could have like all the business logic being handled by components that are entirely decoupled from the UI elements themselves. And by doing that, you can swap the underlying SDK and business logic very easily. So this is something that we've learned from Aurora. So there's one path where Element Web is rewritten such that it will use this architecture much more now. And then we can just swap the REST SDK. So I'm putting air quotes next to just because it's not like usually these abstractions tend to leak a bit, and it's not only that. Aurora has been a nice playground for experiments as well, like playing with having two different rooms shown at the same time in a web view. So that's, since this is a new code base, we can also experiment with many things and test the limits of the REST SDK. So it's pretty nice to have.
Right, so Aurora may or may not be the future of Element Web.
And yeah.
I can easily imagine for Element customers that it would be much more reassuring to have Element Web as being the future of Element Web, because it means much less migrations down the line. But anyway, is the Matrix REST SDK the first SDK that was created for Matrix?
No, so I was alluding to this earlier. There were a few, like more SDKs for the applications. And at the time, there was one SDK for Android, one SDK for iOS, one SDK for web. And actually, the SDK for web still exists. It's the JavaScript SDK. And there's also a React SDK on top of that, I think, that will provide you some UI components as well. But there are many SDKs. If you look at the community, it's amazing. Like you have, I think, Tami is a very nice SDK.
So Tami is the messenger, and it's produced by Connect2x. I think it's Trixnity.
Right, Trixnity, indeed. So I'm looking at what the other SDKs are doing, actually, because like there are very nice ideas in there. And I love meeting with the people who are working on this and like getting into discussions about how they implemented such thing, or how would they do this, etc., etc. It's pretty sweet that we have a diverse ecosystem of many like programming languages and approaches for SDKs, yeah.
And with the power of open source, you don't have to gatekeep the nice features in a SDK. You can steal the IDs and re-implement the features yourself. Right. Why choose Rust as the language for the ground unifying SDK for all the Element products?
So I am part of the Rust evangelization task force, so I have to answer with, because it's blazingly fast, duh, of course. But it's actually a thing, like usually when we run into performance issues in the Rust SDK, so on the Element X apps, for instance, it's mostly due to some database query being slow or like something that has never been optimized, and we would optimize it for the first time. But we are not getting into the, oh, we need to optimize this loop because it's not arranged in the best way. No, the language takes care of that. The LLVM compiler, which is behind the scenes compiling all the Rust code into machine code, is taking care of that. And we're getting all of this for free, and that's super nice.
So the meme exists for a reason.
Exactly, yes. In addition to that, you have proper error handling in Rust, and that's super nice. Like, you have to really think about what do you do if this specific HTTP query fails? What do you do if this data is missing? What do you do if the store has decided to, your backend, like your database has decided to not open or something like that? So we have to handle all these cases and think about all of these cases, and that make for a more robust piece of software at the end of the day, which makes it also more safe in the sense that it will not crash or be possible to exploit it too much because we're not using unsafe code in the REST databases. And this safety property makes it also super easy to do concurrent and parallel processing of data. So we are using the fact that most devices these days, they have multiple CPUs, multiple cores, and so we will spread the work across all the CPU cores and exploit the machine capabilities as much as we can. So that makes it super, super fast.
All right. I sometimes hear about a component that I think the Rust SDK is based on, and that's Ruma. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure. So Ruma is short for Rust Matrix. It's basically a collection of endpoints, API endpoints, event type descriptions, like even algorithms, like the state resolution algorithm, I think is part of Ruma now, that is written in Rust and that you can use whether you want to write a client, a Matrix client, or even a Matrix server. I think there are some Matrix servers that are using Ruma, Conduit and Continuity and all the forks I can't recall the very nice names, etc. So this was the ground on which we built the SDK because it provides you with all the requests and response, and then we will basically in the SDK run them for you and then aggregate the response data and massage it into some very nice API and shapes. Yeah.
Are there external contributors to the Matrix Rust SDK?
Good question. So we are very thankful to have contributions from Kevin Komai, who's from the Fractal community. So Fractal is one of the Matrix clients I was talking about earlier that runs on Linux. They've made like amazing contributions. I think they're in the top five of our contributors. So that's really amazing. And there's also Filament, the company, who's making an ad hoc messenger, if I understood correctly. They've contributed lots and lots of components and features recently. Like they've helped with threads. There's an MEC open for galleries, media galleries. And they've implemented it entirely in the SDK by themselves. They're also improving the IndexedDB, so the database API for web support in the REST SDK for our event cache, and making a ton of contributions. So that's pretty nice, and we are very thankful for that.
And are you open to more contributions?
That's a good question. So it's not easy to answer that, because on the one end, every time you add a significant feature to the code base, well, that adds a toll on maintenance, and now we have to prioritize what we add and what we don't add. And so we will prioritize like quality improvements, bug fixes, of course, API improvements, because these are usually obvious and easy. If you want to contribute something that is significant, I would invite you to first join the Matrix room of the REST SDK, talk about it with us or open issues and describe your implementation plan. Because honestly, the SDK has grown a bit now. It's like a few high-level components that are interacting together. So we have to be very mindful about how we implement the things. But if you want to have like some blessed things to work on, we have a list of issues on the GitHub repositories that are marked help wanted or good first issue. And you can tackle this. And usually the person who opened the issue will be very happy to guide you through the implementation and tell you what to do. Yeah.
Little Birds told me you're going to be somewhere in Strasbourg in October.
Yes, because I like the flammekueche, tarts with the. No, yes, there's the Matrix conference in Strasbourg in October, so I will happily attend it. I've got a talk called Speedrunning Matrix Clients Using the Rust SDK.
Because it's blazing fast.
Yes, so it's a pun on several aspects. One fact is, like in the speedrun community in video games, you can go from 0 to 100% real quick. And also, like, it's really fast, so it's also high speed, yes. And there, in addition to things that I've discussed here with you, I will also talk about, like, detail the high-level components that we've made in the SDK and that make it great, in my opinion, and give some news about what's been implemented in the SDK, talk a bit more about Aurora and another client, the Multiverse in repository Matrix debug client that we've made, yes.
All right, is there anything else the world needs to know?
Well, first of all, our code is hosted on GitHub, so if you go to github.com/matrix-org, then matrix/matrix-rust-sdk.
We're going to add a link in the description.
Yes, perfect. You can go there and see all of our code. It's all open source. In addition to that, we have a few metrics rooms. So there is one room to discuss the usage of the Matrix Rust SDK as an embedder, and another room if you're interested in contributing to the Rust SDK. Usually these are different audiences, so it made sense to distinguish them. And I think that's it for me. Thanks.
All right, well, thank you very much, and I'll see you next week, Matrix Live.
Thank you. Bye.